My brothers and sisters in Christ, some years ago, I was stationed in the city of Washington, D.C., and I was called to jury duty. I wore my clericals, so they didn't choose me. At the lunch break before being dismissed, I was going down the stairwell, and there were several lawyers behind me. Lawyers hang around courthouses, of course, right? And they were talking about a colleague, and one said, "You know what his problem is? He thinks he's smarter than God." Fellow believers, we are not God, but we are supposed to act like God. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So how can we be God-like when we are not God? Yet how easily we forget that we are made in the image and likeness of God. In so many ways, our creative ability, our minds, the sense of beauty, the inner freedom that we have, all of this limited, nonetheless, a pale but real reflection of these infinite attributes of God. We are made in God's image and likeness. And yes, the lingering effects of original sin, darkening our minds, weakening our wills, make acting like God a great challenge, but His image in us, if at times defaced by sin, has not been destroyed. Now, people who trust in God have been able to act in God-like ways. We heard in the first reading how David acted with mercy toward King Saul, who would wanted to kill him. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Worked for racial justice, paying for it with his life. Yet he firmly rejected violence as the proper response to the violence of racial segregation. He knew Jesus' words, "To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other as well." A woman I knew took back the husband who became seriously ill years after leaving her for someone else. She didn't deny his infidelity, but she forgave him and put into practice the Lord's teaching, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Even I get occasional nasty emails from people. There's one fellow in particular who really, he tries to get my goat. But with God's help, I've been able to avoid bitterness, and I do pray for him. So I remember the Lord's words, you know, treat others who treat you wrongly, but treat them the right way, the good way, and pray for them. When faced with the unprecedented prospect of becoming the mother of God's Son while remaining a virgin, Mary heard the angel's words, "With God, all things are possible." God can help us reflect His image and likeness in the world, even when it seems impossible. So the first thing we need is an unwavering trust in God. He will never command us to do what is beyond our power, aided by His grace. He will always give us the strength to bear with integrity a difficult situation or an honorable way out of it. Give an example where both of these ways of God's with us showed up in the same person. When I was a parish priest, a woman I knew who sought an annulment of a foolish marriage years earlier that only lasted a year, she could not get the tribunal, the Catholic Church tribunal, in her country, original country, to handle her case in a responsible fashion. It dragged on and on and on, and the witnesses were getting older and older and older, right? I sent letters to that tribunal, called up. I enlisted an auxiliary bishop in my original diocese to make an intervention. All this without success, but that woman bore up very patiently. You know, that God gave her the strength to bear this indignity patiently. And then God gave her an honorable way out of the difficulty. The original husband died. Death ends any marriage. Didn't need an annulment. I called her up, said, come on over, bring him with you. And we had the blessing of her civil marriage. Where do we get the strength from God to forgive, to bless, to do good to those who mistreat us or our loved ones? First of all, in the sacraments of the church, especially the Eucharist, which is Christ himself disguised in form coming to us. The sacrament of penance, which forgives our sins, for we too are sinners and need forgiveness. Coming to Mass, we hear the Word of God, which by turns enlightens us, encourages us, consoles us, and challenges us. And we need to hear God's truth. And it's also highly salutary to read and meditate on the Scriptures at home. We also have the saints to urge us on both by their example and their prayers. I admire the courage of St. Thomas More, the little way of love of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower, the joy of St. Philip Neri, the determination of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. We also have one another. Huh? We aren't random molecules in an ecclesiastical firmament. We are brothers and sisters in the mystical body of Christ, his church. We can help one another to reach up to the high demands of gospel living. We can't be godlike in our behavior without these spiritual and human supports, but with them, we can. A few remarks about forgiveness are in order because it is one of the hardest things to do. Harder, I think, than helping those in need or keeping many of the other commandments. The Lord says to us, the measure with which you measure will be in turn be measured out to you. I think that is why the Lord put into the Our Father the petition for forgiveness, but tied it to our willingness to forgive those who have offended us. But it can be very hard. Sometimes we have to simply pray to ask God for the desire to forgive someone, and that may take time. But if we persevere in prayer, God will give us that desire. Then there's the work of actually forgiving, not forgetting the injury, but not letting hatred and resentment, because of it, poison our spirit. This, too, may take time and prayer. But the Lord wants us to move even beyond that, to embrace the offender in love and to bless him or her. That surely takes divine grace. I've told you this story, a true one, before, I think, but it's worth repeating. A woman was on a panel discussion that I took part in as well. It was a panel about violence going on in the area where I was serving. She told us about her young adult daughter who had been raped and murdered. She told us she had to pray hard for the desire to forgive the murderer and then to actually be able to forgive him. And then God enabled her to begin loving that man, which is to do good to another. And she did it first by writing to him in prison and then going to visit him in prison. If she could forgive such an atrocity and learn to love a man who had made himself her enemy, can I not do the same for the lesser offenses I've received? Cannot you? God does not ask the impossible. He makes it happen. So we are not God, but we must strive with God's grace to be God-like in our attitudes and conduct. This involves suffering, for Jesus told us that we must be willing to carry our cross if we want to be his disciples. Forgiving enemies and treating with kindness those who hurt us or our loved ones is a heavy cross. But the one who asks us to carry it carried his and said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The image of God, if we take to heart the Lord's teaching, he says to us, your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. The image of God in us will glow brightly, attracting others to the God whose sun shines and whose rain falls on good and bad alike.